Going Wrong, written by Ruth Rendell and read by Dermot Crowley.
Chapter 1. She always had lunch with him on Saturdays. This always happened, was an absolute, unless one of them was away. It was as certain as that the sun would rise in the morning, sparks fly upward, and water find its own level. He found comfort and reassurance in it when things were bad. Whatever else might happen to bring him doubts and make him afraid, he knew she would have lunch with him on Saturday. Usually, when he went to meet her at 1 o'clock on Saturday, he was optimistic. This time he might persuade her to have dinner with him one evening in the week, or let him take her to a theatre. She might agree to see him before next Saturday. One day she would. She was bound to. It was only a matter of time. She loved him. There had never been anyone else for either of them. When he repeated those words to himself as he walked to their meeting, he felt a tremor of apprehension. His heart misgave him. He remembered what he had seen. Then he told himself for the 100th time that it was all right. He was worrying unnecessarily. He held up his head and braced himself. He was on his way to a wine bar quite near to where he had first met her. She had chosen it, knowing he would have picked somewhere expensive. If he arrived in a taxi, she would remind him of his wealth, so he was on foot, having got out of his cab at the top of Kensington Church Street. He was wealthy by the standards of all but the really rich, and seemed a millionaire in the eyes of most of the people she knew. Lefty, green do-gooders, who thought there was something morally proper about not having a freezer or a microwave, about going on camping holidays and riding a bike. He could have given her anything she wanted. With him, she could have a beautiful life. She would come to their meeting by walking along the Portobello Road. Its picturesqueness appealed to her. The Saturday stalls, the hubbub, the people. That was what he disliked. It reminded him too much of the bad parts of his childhood and youth, of what he had left behind. Instead, he took the long, austere Kensington Park Road, the wide, impersonal avenue which led northwards. The trees were dark green and dusty with high summer. It was hot, the sun white on the pavements, the air above the tarmac distorted into dancing, glassy waves by the heat. She disliked his sunglasses. She said they made him look like a mafioso, so he would take them off when he came into the darkness of the restaurant. He was hoping they would meet this side of the restaurant, she coming from the west, from where she lived on the other side of Ladbroke Grove. Then she would see he hadn't come in a cab. He glanced down the mews on the left. He couldn't help it, though it hurt him rather, bringing a sweet and bitter nostalgia. In one of those pink-painted window-box dolls' houses she had lived with her parents, the one with a balcony like a fire-gate and a front door white as whipped cream. It was as if she had chosen this place for their lunch today to torment him. Only she was not the kind who did things like that. The point was, she had no idea it would torment him. She no longer understood how he felt, and he had to make her understand. He had to make her feel the way she used to feel about him when she passed the block of council flats where he had grown up, a few streets away in Westbourne Park. For a moment he wondered what it would be like to know that she yearned for him as he did for her, that the mere sight of a place where he had lived would bring to her a rush of memories and tenderness and longing for the sweetness of the past. He thought stoutly, "I can make her feel like that again." When he was 14 and she was 11, they had wandered these streets. His gang. Not innocent children at all, tough kids, white and black, big for their ages, most of them, brilliant shoplifters, inveterate smokers of marijuana. Those were the early days of his dealing, and very well he had done at it, making a little fortune leading school children astray. They were rich, some of those school kids, with parents living on the right side of Holland Park Avenue. His mother had never known or cared where he was so long as he didn't bother her, and why would he? He was 5'10" and shaving, taking a girl of 18 about, still going to school most days, but rich enough to forget about all that.